someone who's going to join us now, and this is really one of the good people, the smart people of baseball. We had Joe Sheehan this morning,
yep.
And he put Keith Law, obviously, in that class for what he's done. But Keith is a senior baseball writer for ESPN Insider, which I am now a subscriber to. An analyst for ESPN's Baseball Tonight, and you see him all the time. He's a guru of minor league baseball, but understands all the new stats and things that are happening. He's got a new book out, and I wanted to have Keith on because I actually understand what's in his book. it made sense to me. So it's called Smart Baseball.
Yeah.
It's by Keith Law. And Keith, it's a pleasure having you on the show today.
What's up, Keith?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, very good. So tell us about Smart Baseball, how this came about, and I know it's sort of a compilation of many of the things that you've talked about and written about.
So it was the answer to readers who'd asked me over the years, at least once a week, I would hear from someone who would see discussions of new stats of sabermetrics or articles or even tweets criticizing old stats, and they would say, I want to learn more. Can you recommend a book to me where I can learn about the new stats or learn about how teams are using stats to try to look at players differently? And the book just did not exist. And so after a while, I said, maybe I could write that book and sort of approach it almost as a teaching kind of opportunity in that I could start from the very basics, almost like I was talking to my 8-year-old self when I was a kid and, you know, was looking at the back of the baseball cards like I'm sure you guys were. That's how we thought about players.
Right.
Instead, let me start from there and build all the way up and finish with, hey, now here's the new frontier. Here's how teams are looking at players and with StatCast data, how they might be looking at players going forward.
Keith, I'm glad you've written this book because I try to navigate FanGraphs, and it's like reading Japanese. It's almost impossible. And so I need help, and so I'd imagine I'm not alone in that. And some of the more obscure stats and sabermetrics, what would be the starting? Would WAR be the most basic of the new way of analyzing baseball?
And Keith, if that's the answer, explain it.
Please, thank you.
Yeah, well, it's so important that I gave it its own chapter in the middle section of the book, and WAR, for listeners who don't know, that's wins above replacement. And everyone I talk to in a front office said, while they may not use that term, that's how they look at players. They add up a player's total value. So for a hitter, what's his bat worth? All his offensive production. And you take away the cost of the outs, too. There's a plus and there's a minus. You look at his base running. You look at his fielding. Now for catchers, you look at his framing, too. You add all of that up, and you get some kind of total, but you have to compare it to a baseline. And that's the R. That's what the replacement level is, this agreed-upon baseline. That's what you could get if you just reached down to AAA and called up, you know, a Jared Parker, a guy who you could get freely from AAA rosters. Every team is using something like that to measure total value of players. But I would say there's so many different ways to skin the proverbial cat to get to that total. Teams will disagree on how to measure fielding, how to measure hitting. For pitchers, how much do you value what the pitcher does versus the help he gets from the defense behind him? So I would say WAR is like a construct. It's an idea, not like a specific stat where on-base percentage, to pick up a basic stat that's really useful, that's one statistic that measures something very specific, and you can look at that, you know what they're talking about. You add a bunch of things together to get to that WAR total, and you can do that in a whole lot of different ways, all of which have some merit behind them.
All right, Keith Law is with us. Smart Baseball is the name of the book. Now, this is a thought about WAR. Of course, what is it good for? You know, the
sign. Of course,
right.
Right.
But we watch games, and certainly you see, you see Miguel Cabrera play. Boy, you know, you don't need to tell me what his WAR is. He's pretty good. Are there players that all of a sudden you see, Keith, and you say, wow, the WAR is this? I didn't realize they contribute that much.
Ben Zobrist, I think, is the best example of that in the last 10 years or so. And you can see it's been reflected, too, in how much he's gotten paid recently when he got to free agency and how highly coveted he was in trades the 2 years before he got to free agency. The Zobrist did a lot of things well without one exceptional tool. You look at Cabrera, you see the batting average, you see the home runs. It's hard to be anything but a superstar when you hit like that. Zobrist was never going to win a batting average title. He was never going to lead the league in homers, but he could do lots of things, including get on base a lot and play a couple of different positions and play them all pretty well. And so that was a case where adding up the actual value of every single thing he did at the plate and then giving him credit for his defensive contributions at every position he played, suddenly you add them up. And for a couple of years, he was a top 10 player in baseball. And a lot of fans found that very hard to believe. I get that comment from readers a lot. Well, war can't be right because Ben Zobrist isn't a top 10 player in baseball. My answer to them is, well, how do you know he's not? Do you have a different number? You have to have some kind of evidence if you say, well, Ben Zobrist isn't a top 10 player in baseball. This one way of valuing the player says that he is. If you have a different way of valuing it, that's fine. We can have that discussion. But what I think is great about some of these new metrics is they, like you said, they reveal things about players we wouldn't have known just going off the eye test.
Boy, you explained it beautifully. Keith Law with us. Keith, let's look at the Giants for a second in two ways. One, I'd like to get your analysis of Tyler Beede and Christian Arroyo because my Twitter feed is blowing up every single day that someone doesn't get a hit here, that they, of course,
right.
want these
call
guys.
Call them up.
Yeah, call them up yesterday. So that's number one. And number two, give me a hidden war person for the Giants. Someone you say, well, I didn't realize maybe he was that important to the Giants.
Well, I'm a big fan, especially of Tyler Beede. I think he's really come a long way. I first saw him in high school, saw him a bunch of times in college. The Giants have done a really nice job developing him, and I think he's ready to be their fifth starter. Essentially, whenever they decide to turn the page and call him up to take over from Matt Cain, Beede Scott, he will show you five different pitches. He doesn't always pitch with all of them. His command has really come a long way. He's got, I think, a slider and a changeup that can both miss bats. He's durable, got a great track record of performance. I think he's going to end up at least a number three starter in the big leagues. He's got a chance to be more, and he can help them right away. Whereas Arroyo, for me, he's going to be a good big leaguer, but I don't think he's ready to come up right now. Like, I would call up Steven Duggar before I called up Arroyo if he wanted help this year. Arroyo is more of the long-term property, good swing, good idea at the plate, wish he was more patient. And obviously the Giants have changed his position. He was never going to be a long-term shortstop. But you were asking for an example of a guy who war shows his value. You know, 10 years ago, Brandon Crawford would not have been seen as a superstar because we didn't value defense. We didn't even have values for defense. Now, you look at how good his defense is and how many runs he's actually saving every year. That's reflected. It's reflected in his defensive numbers, which give him a pretty strong war total every year, despite the fact he's not a good on-base guy. Overall, he's not a great hitter compared to the average batter in the league, but he's good for a shortstop in terms of power, and he's such a good defensive player that his war totals have been consistently 4+ for several years now.
Cool.
Yeah, Keith Law, who has got a book out, Smart Baseball. I'm going to have to thumb through it and navigate sabermetrics and learn more about the analytics. And, Keith, there's kind of a culture war in baseball. I thought it was interesting to hear Theo Epstein the other day on a podcast say that all the teams now have the stats folks from Ivy League schools kind of directing their system and really relying upon the sabermetrics. And now baseball's kind of – the pendulum is swinging back to the old-fashioned stats and perhaps headed in the direction of the scout. And I'd just like to get your thoughts on that comment from Theo Epstein and that philosophy.
And I included – so I scout players. You mean you guys hinted at this earlier. I just got back from Nashville this morning. I was down there watching Vanderbilt in Florida play to scout three guys who are potentially first-round picks for this year's draft. So I believe very strongly in it. I insisted to my publisher there is a chapter in Smart Baseball that just discusses old school scouting.
Yep.
Discusses some terms and just the very basics of how scouts go about their business. And I agree with you and with Theo that you are seeing a swing back where there are certain teams, the Braves are really doing this, getting the old school scouts, sort of getting their voice a little louder in the room. You want both sides, the analytics and the scouts, in every discussion. It's finding the right balance, and I would be very disappointed. And I mean, there are teams that they swing too far the other way and don't give the scouts the same voice or deploy their scouts more as guys to just go get video and write down velocities and let the analytics guys do the heavy lifting. I think you absolutely need both. I think that's a big part of the Cubs and the Red Sox success over the last 10, 15 years. Theo is... he's an Ivy Leaguer. He went to one of the lesser Ivies, I like to call it. But he is an Ivy Leaguer.
Yeah.
And an analytics guy, but he trusts his scouts. And you talk to scouts who worked for him in Boston and in Chicago, and they rave about him. They say he listens to scouts, he trusts scouts, he wants them to have a part in the process. I personally believe that that is the right way to run an organization. I'll say that the Giants, too, they don't talk about it very much, but that's a very scout-forward organization. It's why they've been successful. It's also why you can't get a scout to leave the Giants. Guys go to work there, and they stay 40 years.
Well,
great.
You don't, you check in, but you don't check out.
You got to have a little balance.
And that's Hotel California.
It is. Don Henley and Marty.
That's right.
Very good. Hey, I came up with something. I like that. Hey, Keith, great to have you on. Yeah. I'd love to have you on again and as we go through the season. You really are on this stuff. The book is Smart Baseball. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun, and it explains it to someone who doesn't have all the technical skills. So you did a good job.
Nice work.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thanks. All right. That's Keith Law.
You know, I think we just nailed it, is that there's such a war where the hardcore Sabre people really look down their nose at the old school people, Marty, and vice versa. A little balance never hurt anybody.
No. No, of course not.
You need both.
You have to listen. You've got to be capable of listening.
Being stubborn is the worst.
No. And it's you don't learn anything.
That's right.